Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. As we discuss a lot, and don't forget tomorrow, Chickies of Pete, Southville. You ready for the Red October rally tomorrow? You going to have your new towel there?
I'm have my head towel?
Yeah.
I'm going to wear that one.
How about your hoodie?
It's a little snug.
What about the bee costume?
But I have a jersey that I got when I threw out that first pitch.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to rock my jersey.
You're ready to go
tomorrow. Yeah, I'm good to go.
Oh, that thing was cool, yeah.
That is good. All right, Red October rally tomorrow at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Are you worried about the layoff? I'm not. Hugh is. Kyle's terrified over there. And, of course, the Jalen Hurts discussion. Are you worried at this stage of Jalen's career? You have real concern over where he's going as a quarterback. Most people today we've talked to do have concern about Jalen Hurts and his trajectory. All right, one guy that – it's not even concern. It's just – annoyance at this point is us with Darius Slay. We know earlier this week he was on Micah Parsons' podcast and he was having a good old time laughing about CJ GJ and his trash talk, and then CJ seemed to put up an Instagram like, come on, like, you know, really type of thing. And it's been, you know, a lot of people frustrated with Slay. He's a captain and he's out there doing that stuff, and it's just not a good look. So Slay saw your responses. He may have heard ours, so he took to his podcast yesterday to say this.
I done seen the comments. You know, it's noticeable. I see it all day. You know, yes, I turned off my comments on Twitter. I did a lot of stuff, man, because it's just like, hey, we are human. Y'all can get to us too. So I got through this, ignore some of that kind of stuff. But for people to say that, hey, take the C off your chest, Slay, because of this. Like, I lead in a different type of way. I'm not a big vocal guy like Hurts. You know, Hurts, y'all see Hurts all the time. Y'all say he got serious face and that. I am the joyful side of the team, or the leadership. I'm a guy that's going to put smiles on your face. If you're looking like you had a bad day, I'm the one that's going to try to cheer you up, make your day better. You know, so I bring the different type of energy that the team needs. You know, I leave the serious stuff to Hurts. You know, I yell all the yelling stuff to, back in the time, was Kels. Kels would do a lot of yelling at time. I used to let Flex do all the yelling. I'm more of a guy that's kind of like simmer here, very understanding. I try to lead by example by just working hard, doing the best of my ability to let me do what I need to do to know, be prepared for the game. But my leadership skills are way different from everybody else.
Two things, okay? And then I want to hear your response to. Number one, if we need giggles, we'll get Bozo the Clown in there. Like, I need a leader. I don't mean to lighten the mood. How about go play well and be a good leader? That's number one. And two, he says he's not the talkative one. All he does is talk. What are you talking about? You're not the talkative one. Like, he says, I'm the feel good guy, not the rah rah talk guy. Every time he's the one this week, we're talking about what he's talking about.
Listening to what he said, I would ask him, and I would ask anybody else to ask him, okay, what does your leadership style have to do with what you did with Micah Parsons? What does that have to do with anything? Like, seriously, because you're talking about something that has not, like, taking the C off your chest. I know that was part of it. Okay, but what about being a leader let you feel or made you feel like it was okay to go on there? And again, I have to say this. You didn't say a whole lot, but you did it. You went on there knowing that your teammate had a misunderstanding or a disagreement with someone that's a rival in your division. And you went on the podcast and you just let him talk. You just let him talk about your teammate, whether it was good or bad. We can have that argument all day. He's your teammate. He's somebody that you ride or die with. When you're talking about riding or die with, and you sat on there and you kind of co-signed what was being said. You co-signed that. I need you to answer this question for me. Do you feel that that was the leadership thing to do? That's why people are calling for your C on your chest. Because as a leader, the one thing I'm never going to do, I don't care if say, for example, me and one of my teammates that I work here with, if we had beef about something, I'm not going to talk about family business to somebody that's not family. I'm not about to do that. I'm not. And that's exactly what you did. Whether you feel it was wrong or not, you went outside family business. You know, you talk about the media and how we talk about y'all. You basically joined us when you did that.
He did.
You joined us. Like, everything that you say that we are, you co-signed that. You went out there and talked about your teammate. I don't care if you just said he liked the color purple or the color blue. You did it with somebody who ain't got to know that business. Bottom line, you talked about him to somebody that y'all got to see in a couple of weeks that you might be fighting for the division with. But you thought in your mind as a captain that it was the cool thing to do. I know what you thought. Hey, I'm going to get some eyes on this because I feel like you're in that space now. And ain't nothing wrong with that. But you're in a space now where you're working on your second career. You are. You need to worry about the one that you're in right now. That's going to be there. I feel like you have enough, you know, personality and enough talent that you will be able to, you'll be on somebody's show. You'll be able to wear your suits and talk about football in that capacity at some point. You will be able to do that. But I don't think now is the time. I don't think now is the time to do that because there's something wrong with this team internally that we are looking at you to help us kind of correct. That's what a leader does in a situation like that. You don't make it worse because whether you want to believe it or not, Slay, it's something's wrong. We don't know what it is, but you do. And I don't think you helped the situation by doing what you did.
Also, look, I don't condone anyone ever, like, you know, saying things that are over the top or tweeting at athletes over the top. But I think, frankly, we should never tag a handle of an athlete. Like, leave them alone, right? Like, whatever. You say their name if you want and tweet it and social media, whatever you want. But I'm not in favor of that. But when he said, I see the comments, and he seemed like almost hurt by them, dude, you poke the bear. Like, what do you expect people to do? Like,
especially in this city. Well, as right passionate after a as loss. You know what the one thing that I even to this day that I'm aware of is that I understand that fan is short for fanatic. And I remember one time I was telling you, Joe, we were talking about it. You know, I'm a big shoe guy. And a few months ago, I made a mistake. And I ordered a pair of shoes. And I think Kyle knows this story. Ordered a pair of shoes. Not realizing until they got here what the colors were. Mm. You know what the colors were? The cowboy colors.
Can't do that.
And I was like, oh. And it was funny, even though probably nobody would have noticed it. Nobody probably would have noticed it. I was like, oh, can't do that. Cannot do that. And I got rid of them. I had to order another pair. I ordered silver and black because I'm like, nobody cares about the Raiders.
Yeah, that's
colors.
All right.
I can wear the Raiders colors.
Let that go here.
But the fact that they were blue and whatever the silver is they use or whatever they want to call them, I was like, nah. Because I don't want anybody to say, somebody in passing, random fan, hey, man, what are you doing with those cowboy shoes on? Because that's what somebody probably would have thought. You have to be self-aware. That's the point that I'm making.
Yeah, and that's what he lacked. Like, the fact that he's complaining or saying, I saw your comment, he almost like, as woe is me, I had to turn my comments off on social media. How about don't do that? And I feel like very few people would have bothered him this week, Kyle, on social media. He went on Parse's podcast. He's having fun about CJGJ, right. Yeah, Eagles fans are going to feel a certain way.
It's just dumb and inappropriate, and like he can talk about his leadership style all he wants. What he did, that instance of going on Parsons' podcast, is no version of leadership. That's not a leadership. Like, what would be the Phillies version of this? Like Bryce Harper going on Brandon Nimmo's podcast to talk about how Aaron Nola got smoked the other night. Could you imagine that?
No. Nope.
It's not appropriate. I mean, you just got to read the room, dude.
Well, and then you do it. You move on. But don't give me the woe is me. I'm human, too. Okay, cool. I mean, like, it's like poking a dog or kicking a dog, and then you get bit. And it's like, I can't believe the dog did that. What'd you do?
Yeah, even to this day, you're not about to talk bad about my teammates. I don't care if I ain't seen them in years. You're not about to do that. It's not going to happen. I mean, because that's the tight-knit family bond that we have. You're not going to do that. Nah. And I don't understand how you don't realize that was not the thing to do. That was kind of selfish.
Of course it was.
Like, that was really selfish because you don't talk. Even if somebody say, hey, man, I want you to come on and talk about your boy. Who's my boy? Like, we're not about to do that. I can't do it. Matter of fact, why are you even asking me to come on? I wouldn't even have responded to that text.
Well, I pointed out yesterday, remember we talked about this at first, I'll say it again, 2 weeks ago, after the Falcons loss, Saquon Barkley had a pre-scheduled interview to be on the next morning on the Dan Patrick Show. Okay? Mm-hmm. Like, this was scheduled in advance, he was going to be a guest, he dropped the pass, and from the story,
like, nah, player, I can't do that.
He called, like, he didn't have like a, you know, agent or someone, he called the show the next morning and talked to the producer and said, listen, I'll do it another time. But I don't think it's appropriate today after what happened last night in the game for me to be on the air today. Like, he gets it in 10 seconds. He screwed up. He didn't have his best game. The team lost a crushing game. He's not going to go and, you know, sell a product or have a fun time on a radio show because that would probably annoy people. He got it. Like, how this guy's been in the league. I think he was drafted, what, 2014? He's been in the league a long time, 2013?
Talking about Slay?
Slay, yeah, he's been in the league a long time.
Don't get it twisted, Joe. Slay knew what he was doing. He knew this is going to do exactly what he wanted it to do. Drive eyes to this podcast and have people talk about it. That's what he wants. He is not a dummy. You can't tell me that Slay is a dummy. He might try to play the victim, but he knows exactly what he was doing when he drove people to that podcast.
Yeah,
he knew that it was going to be controversial. But this is the part where, if you don't understand it, I'll tell you, where the leadership comes in. It's because you did that at the expense of your football team. Your football team that right now is having issues. But that's why people are calling for the C on your chest, is because you knew all of that and you did it anyway. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you call yourself a captain, and knowing that your team is reeling right now, we just had a terrible loss, you made that calculated decision to do this because you knew it would give you exactly what you wanted. And I'm not mad about that, but don't act like you don't know why people are calling for your head.
If you're looking for empathy for the backlash, you come to the wrong place.
You can't do that, man. You can't act like all of a sudden you don't know why you're getting all this and that and the third. You calculated that move. You knew how that would play.
I got that C on my chest for a reason.
That's what I'm saying. You can't tell me that you didn't know what was about to happen. You can't. That dog don't hunt,
no,
bro.
That's a good way to put it. All right, let's hear another. Well, Philadelphia, the former Philadelphia athlete. We might see him this weekend. Rhys Hoskins. He was on MLB podcast recently talking about Philadelphia fans, and look. Rhys is beloved now, but Rhys got his fair share of criticism here. He got beat up a lot, but when he was not playing well, I did it to him all the time. When he was terrible at first base and he was in slumps, but this is how you handle it, and this is how you do it. Here's Rhys Hoskins yesterday.
I think when I think about Philly, I think being in the Northeast is something that's a factor in their fandom. You're a little bit more on top of each other. Everyone's got to fight a little bit more for themselves. They love to love you, and when they do love you, it is an amazing place to play. But they also love to hate you. And I think that's something that's really, really unique about that city, is that the accountability factor, there's a standard there that they expect, and obviously the desire to win kind of at the root of all of that. And in Milwaukee, it's really, really great when we're winning, but they're also, the people are most likely just like happy to be there and happy to support. We've done a lot of winning, so there's been a lot of that, but you know, it might be, hey, let's get them next time, instead of, I cannot believe we did that, we got to fix that type of thing.
I'm just happy to be here.
And I think he summed it up well. Like, he took for a guy that's very popular and his exit and not being here anymore, he took a lot of crap. He was up and down. People got on him. People liked him. But, you know, he gets it. That's the way it is. Like, enough of the personal stuff, Slay. Oh, you, I had to turn off my Twitter comments. Who cares? Like, I don't care. You're 33 years old. Don't tweet dumb things. Derek is up next. What's up, Derek? Derek?
Derek, you're blowing your moment.
All right, Derek, we'll come back.
Well, you blew it.
Sean has an idea for the Eagles. What's up, Sean?
Hey, man. Joe, it's been a while. Hey, guys.
It has been. Sean, what's up, buddy?
Nothing much, man. Watching the Eagles has been a complete pain, bro. I'm not going to lie to you. And I'm not going to lie. I'm a huge believer in Jalen Hurts, but at the same time, I have to acknowledge what I'm seeing with my own eyes. But here's the issue. It's like, the one thing that's a constant with Jalen Hurts, guys, I'm sure you guys know this, and I don't know what he can do to develop in this regard, which I'm shocked he hasn't already. Why is he not, if he continues to not make his progressions in the middle of the field, clearly if we're just talking about how he throws the ball beyond the numbers, he's probably a top five quarterback. But when it comes to throwing in between the numbers, specifically intermediate passes, he tends to struggle. And it's going to continue to be a struggle. Our offense is going to struggle if he doesn't find guys like Dallas Goedert, John Dotson, or Covey anytime they're in the middle of the field, or even AJ Brown when they do their motions. it's a problem. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking if it continues to be a problem within the next 2-3 weeks, I mean, just like the Colts are ready to call up on Phillip Rivers, I feel like you should be able to call up on Nick Foles if you need him.
Let me stop you right there, Sean. That can't happen because, you know, like Nick Foles retired. Like, he's signed those papers.
How many times has Phillip Rivers come out of retirement?
Phillip Rivers hasn't signed the papers. Nick Foles signed the papers,
you
bro.
You can come out of retirement. Brett Favre did it.
I don't think you could
come out of retirement if
no,
you wanted to.
No, they didn't sign the papers. Those guys
signed new papers.
I'm trying to tell y'all something.
Unsign the papers.
No, you can come out of retirement.
Unsign them.
Nothing.
You can definitely come out of retirement.
Listen to what I'm trying to tell you.
They put them in the machine. They ripped the paper up.
When you retire as a player, you go to the NFL and they give you, you sign your retirement papers. And you get like a check. Well, at least I got a check. And you're done. That's it. You get compensated. You go into the sunset. Now, everybody that you're talking about, Joe Flacco didn't sign the papers. He didn't retire. Like, when you officially retire, you sign papers and you're out the game.
Sean, I like your idea. I have to.
I just told Joe he don't even care.
Well, I have to tell you something. I wonder if Kyle agrees. I have a theory.
What's that?
So I'm going to use an analogy, okay? This one, actually, it's real. It's absolutely real. When my grandfather, and this was a while ago, he's passed away. But when he was getting older, we noticed, or my parents did, I was a kid. His driving was really getting poor, right? This happens to people as they get to their 80s, close to 90, all that. So they took the keys away from him. They told him he wasn't allowed to drive anymore, right? But, like, there was no rule he wasn't allowed to drive. They just told him. Hugh, I have a theory.
What's that?
I think they told you couldn't play anymore because they didn't want to hurt your feelings. I don't know if these papers are as hard and fast as you remember them to be.
Well, I do believe you. There might be something to that.
They might have said to you, but you can't come back here anymore. You signed the papers.
When T.O. retired and he talked about coming back, you know, that kind of died on the vine because I don't think he could come back. I don't think after you sign your paperwork to get out of the league, you can't come back. I don't think so.
Maybe they make an exception for a Super Bowl MVP like Nick Foles.
Think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't think Nick Foles is going to play football again. I think that ship has sailed. But just
the idea of that being the case.
I'm not going to ever
intriguing.
Say no to Nick if he wants to come play again. I mean, Kyle, if Nick wanted to play again, you saying no? No, we're all saying yes.
Oh, of course not.
Come on back. Put an Eagles uniform on. Mad Mike is up. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how are we doing today, guys?
We're good, Mike.
Can we stop with this? Whatever callers call in to try to protect Captain Intangibles, Jalen, they're always like, he helped play Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Oh, really?
Tell you, Tom,
Patrick
OG.
Mahomes won the Super Bowl, and he had a 78% completion percentage and didn't fumble a ball that led to a touchdown from the other team. So stop saying that nonsense.
Well, you're right. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
The biggest play of the game. And look, Jalen played really well in that game, but he didn't outplay
Patrick Mahomes.
He had the biggest turnover of the game, the only turnover.
And, like, it's ridiculous because these people will twist themselves into a pretzel to defend this player of a mediocre skill set. And let's say this. Everybody that wants to be like, well, Wentz was blah, blah, blah. Wentz didn't have a fraction of the talent that surrounds Jalen, and Jalen can't figure it out. You know why? Because he stinks.
Did he just drop the mic?
Well, it was kind of a mic drop.
I'm still here. But yeah.
He said he didn't drop the mic, though.
It's ridiculous the way that the Delaware Valley and the mouth breathers that live here try to contort themselves into believing Jalen is anything more than a second-round quarterback that has been protected for the last 4 years and had 1 year where it all aligned and played nothing but tomato cans all year, and they lost the Super Bowl. That's all it was.
Yeah, I have a theory on this. And Mike, we appreciate it. The tomato cans, but they did play some tomato cans that year. But I have a theory on the Hurts protection.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to run this gut thing by you. Ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
So, the Wentz divorce was painful,
mm-hmm.
right? There was an assumption here. The Eagles had finally found their all-time great quarterback, right? Donovan was a very good quarterback, but the Eagles have never had
quarterback of Wentz's caliber, so they felt.
Yeah, like they've never had an Aaron Rodgers, a Brett Favre.
MVP caliber.
Surefire Hall of Famer, right? They've never had that. And there was a sense here, Hugh, when Wentz started off playing like he did, that we found it, right? This was it. This was going to be the greatest quarterback in Eagles history. That's it. And it became a very ugly divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got remarried here. And we're starting to see signs that this marriage is also...
Might not be what you
so
think it is.
So we're telling ourselves it can't be. Like, this weird thing happened, that odd remark happened, this fight happened, and we're just telling ourselves, I can't. I can't do it again. There's no way I'm going through a divorce again when I was convinced it was the one again. I think that's part of the protection. No one wants to believe this could happen again.
Well, I think you might be onto something, but I also feel that when people hear the criticism of Jalen, they feel like it's personal. It's on a I don't like when I criticize Jalen, it's not personal.
I think
it's coming. And I don't think when you do,
it's not.
It's personal. You're just talking about from, you know, the past and everything that has happened. But a lot of times people feel like you're being personal and it's not the case. It's that you see him. I've seen progression in Jalen Hurts, but I've also seen regression in him. And when you have a team that's really in the way that this team is right now, the turnovers make a difference. And that's what's hurting this team right now. Mm. You remove those turnovers, I don't think anybody would have a problem with the way Jalen Hurts is playing.
Well, of course, yeah. Well, that's
because
the
outcome would be different. We would be 3-1. Because if Saquon Barkley, again, if he makes that play, and we sought that game where we're sitting here at 3-1 and these conversations aren't being had.
Oh, it's a totally different vibe in the city. I mean, just everything is different. 215-592-9494. All right, we did get an update, a potential update on the Hassan Reddick situation, compensation. What's going on with that? We'll get to it. Plus, Meryl and Mike apparently have collaborated on a song about the Eagles so far this season.
Oh, my gosh.
That's going
to
be good. That's coming up along with your phone calls on Jalen and on the Phillies. Are you worried about the layoff as the Phillies get ready for their intra-squad workout at Citizens Bank Park? All that's coming up. 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. This year, FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is giving the chance to win big every Thursday night with FanDuel Squares. It's the same Super Bowl Squares game you've always known, only way better. That's because your numbers aren't just randomly assigned. You get to pick them yourself. You can pick as many as you like. You get to see the odds beforehand, and you can bet them live during the game. So what are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO and bet on Squares. Plus, if you're new to FanDuel, you can get $200 of bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilly. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. Another day of four playoff games in baseball. Astros need to win to avoid elimination. Then Zach Eflin pitches for the Orioles this afternoon. They try to avoid elimination. Mets, Brewers, that one's at 7:30 tonight. And we got to root for the Brewers. We need that thing to go to a game three. Everyone uses all their pitchers. And I think the Braves are cooked tonight. I think the Padres are going to sweep them right out of this thing and move on and play the Dodgers. Let's get back to your phone calls. But first, what's going on with the Hassan Reddick situation? So last week, or I guess a couple days ago, we got the news that he's not allowed to be traded back here because of
Of some weird rule.
So we're finding more stuff out about what's going on. And by the way, Hassan Reddick is still at home. You know, the Jets are about to play fifth game of the season, and he's still at home.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the latest?
So we got a tweet yesterday from an old friend, Jacina Anderson. Mm. Now, this is worded like oddly, so I'm going to do my very best to make this make sense. The tweet says, new. I'm told a Jets 2026 second-round pick is conditionally involved in the trade, per sources. My understanding is that said condition is dependent upon the specifics of where Reddick lands if traded again. That's the part that's important and provides additional context to the protracted situation now. The Reddick trade was previously reported as only involving a 2026 conditional third-round pick. So from what I gather, or what I believe this means, is depending on where he goes, the Eagles will, I believe this conditional third just defaults to a second, because a lot of this was based on amount of playing time with the Jets. If it turns out the Jets have to trade him, then the Eagles don't get screwed in this scenario, which is something that we had worried about.
Yep. I have a theory on this, because she leaves it vague.
Yeah.
But I think it's protection that they don't reroute him to Dallas or the Giants or Washington.
Mm.
Something like that. Yeah. Like the Eagles may have said, if you send him to these three or four or five places, then you have to give us a second round pick. Like, you can't just let it send him to the Cowboys without us knowing about this. I think they might have something to do with that.
Yeah. Mm.
It's obviously a mess. I mean, like,
this has gotten, it's crazy how he's standing on business. It kind of felt like he was prepared for whatever the worst was going to be. And it's gotten bad over the last couple of weeks.
He's getting cooked, dude.
I wonder, is there a drop-dead date where he has to come back? Or is he going to let this full season go?
I think he's going to walk away from $17 million.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's a lot.
It is. I
commend somebody who is that convicted in whatever it is that they believe, that they're willing to do that. It's almost like the Dave Chappelle thing. You remember the story that came out a few years ago with Dave Chappelle, when he was doing the Dave Chappelle show? He walked away from like $25 million, yeah, and everybody thought he was crazy. And he bounced back, and he probably was worth more than that plus. Now, this don't feel like the same situation, but it's similar.
It is similar. The one thing that's different, Hassan could do whatever he wants. Dave Chappelle, right, a comedian, has a shelf life of their entire life, right?
Yes.
Like, they could do comedy. Getting older. Like,
yes,
he's going to lose a whole year.
It's different in the NFL.
Yeah, he's not going to get more valuable to NFL
teams.
That's
the point. That's why I said that's where it's different. I understand the premise, and I understand you're standing on business, but you only have so long to play this game.
Yeah.
And your body's only going to hold up for so long. I'm getting all the bread that they're willing to give me. You can have it. I'll suck it up. And I'll figure out next year when I get a chance. But $17 million? It's a lot of money.
Speaking of, earlier when we had Seth in here, we had so much going on, we didn't really get to have fun with it. When Seth was saying that Darius Slay is in his stealing years, you said you tried that.
I tried to steal.
It didn't work.
I knew I was today, they wouldn't let me steal. It's like, nah, brother.
I mean, what are we paying for?
Yeah, I was trying to steal. What they say in hockey, skate your wing.
Yeah.
I was scared. I was trying.
And the Jaguars said, get out.
They were like, not on our watch.
Not here. Let's go to Mike in Washington Township. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Hugh, Joe, what's up, boys?
What's going
on? How you doing,
man?
Mike?
Yeah, I'm so pissed about this Eagles defense. I can't even explain it. Their just lack of physicality is just making me so mad. Especially like that one goal line stand they almost had. Fourth and goal on the 1 yard line. They have Baker Mayfield run that read option play.
Yep.
And Reed Blankenship just comes late. Like, you can't be hesitant right there on the goal line, fourth and goal. Like, you got to stick him. in my opinion.
Well, Mike, I agree with that. It's one thing if it's Cam Newton coming down there or even Jalen Hurts, right? Like, Baker Mayfield is more mobile than most. He's not immobile, but, like, he shouldn't be the one, you know, lowering his shoulder and beating you.
No. You can't get run over right there if you're Reed Blankenship. And I'm a fan of Reed Blankenship, but you got to make that play.
It's true. And unfortunately, Mike, they just don't make enough big plays. Like, they get torched, and then they don't make, like, a play that's a 50-50 play. In three of the four games, they haven't done it.
Yeah, it drives me crazy. It really drives, and just the lack of tackling, just it drives me insane.
Well, they're one of the worst tackling teams I've seen in a long time.
It's
remarkable. I mean, if you miss 18 tackles in a game, I mean, you basically didn't show up.
Yeah. And another thing, I got Phillies winning both games this weekend, 2-0 to start the weekend.
That would be nice.
And then
we go
to New York or Milwaukee, and we finish it off there. Mike appreciates it. There we go. He's not worried about a layoff or, you know, the Mets, or I'm a little worried about, or the Brewers, whatever.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, never mind. I'm going to keep that to myself.
No, here we go. You're nervous.
You flip-flopping again?
No, I'm not. I'm going to keep it to myself.
I can see you shaking over there.
You are nervous.
I'm going to keep it on a positive vibe. I'm just going to, you know, we've heard these conversations before. Like, you know, people talking about they're going to win just because.
Well, not just because they have a great
on their chest.
No, they have a tremendous bullpen. They have Zach Wheeler.
Remember last week when we talked about the Eagles were going to win just because?
I don't know if it was just because.
Well, which one of us said that?
No, it was just because.
I'm talking about the callers.
Yeah.
Oh. You know,
but
callers.
That's a football Friday. I mean,
come on. We can't put.
Okay, I'm not. Okay, I'm not.
The callers, man.
I'm looking at a free throw.
But Herb talk about.
Also.
Herb talk about handling business from planes.
Yeah. If we're being real, the Phillies are better than the Eagles. I mean, we have false bravado with the Eagles week to week because we're hoping. The Phillies are legitimately really good.
Of course.
They've been right there as the best team all year.
I agree with that.
Dodgers took the best record at the end, but they've been, you know, for most of the season, had the best record in baseball.
No, I agree with that.
TR is up next on WIP. Hey, TR. TR?
He's blowing his moment.
I mean, come on.
All right, TR, we'll push back on all. We'll get that figured out. Big Murph is up next. Hey, Big Murph.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, what's up, Big Murph. What's up?
Man, I was just giving you a call, man. I've been thinking about the Eagles quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it goes back to 2016. I'm going to try to make this quick.
Okay.
They brought in Wentz. Excuse me. Looked good. Rookie year, getting rid of the ball real quick because he didn't know what he was doing. 2017 kind of stood at that pace, went MVP level. They finally got running backs, which they never had before, three of them, pounders. Okay, fast forward to 2020, he gets the money, he's toast. The head coach is toast too. Then we see the same scenario with Jalen Hurts. Totally different background, two totally different players. Coach this kid, you think it's going to be different. It winds up the same way. They all play hero ball. They all go for the deep ball. Do you guys think there is a fundamental issue from an organizational standpoint where these guys eat up their quarterbacks? They give them the money, they get in their head, and they just overwhelm them.
Yes.
To the point of burnout, and they get stuck.
Murph, I think there's something.
When you say overwhelm them, you mean expecting? You know, you are you saying like give them $200 million and expect them to grow?
Not at all, Hugh. Not at all.
Okay.
And you should know better from Central State, brother. You got to earn your keep in that league. You don't get in there for free, and give you a handout.
Definitely.
But what I'm saying is, What I'm saying is, they always have wanted to pass you.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back to every coach all the way back to Andy Reid. The deficit was always, why won't they run? Why won't they run? Why won't they run?
Okay.
The one year they did run the football and they concentrated on that, they got us the Super Bowl. It wasn't just Nick Foles. It was running the defense.
Oh, you're right. Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount. Murph, I think you're onto something. And here's my
– I think
you're right. And I have a theory on it as well as what you're saying. I think part of it has been – because of the structure of this, you know, the way rookie quarterbacks are cheaper, you know, and before you get paid, they're able
Correct.
To build up these great teams around them, 2017, and then the same thing in 22, and then they play well, they win, and I think they've almost fooled themselves into thinking these guys are truly special, when the reality is they were good, and then they were, you know, helped out by a lot around them, and then they pay them, and then they're like, oh no, maybe they're not quite as great as we thought. I think there's something here. Yeah,
I don't want to cut you off. I think that's a piece of it, but I think their desire to get big plays, to score points, I think they put the burden on these kids to perform that way, which is not what got them in the league in the first place. And then they're displaced, and then you're trying to put a square peg through a round hole. Then the kid gets burnt out. Then it's like, okay, let's start the machine all over again with a new quarterback. I bet you on everything I own, on my grandkids, on everything, they draft a quarterback this year.
I think you're right.
Unless they win the Super Bowl.
I think you're right.
Jalen Hurts.
I think you're right.
That's just my opinion. One guy's opinion. It's not fact. But, you know, you walk back through the history books. I'm 51 years old. I've been watching since the 80s when they were terrible. At least we have something to watch now. You know, I think that whole thing started when you came in, Hugh, and it was a renaissance with Andy Reid, and he learned what to do at the quarterback position, and the Eagles are still trying to use his formula, and they're scrapping to do such, and you mix that with analytics, it's a bad brand of football. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you for the call. I'll call in again soon.
Awesome. That's a good call, Murph. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Another day of four playoff games in baseball. Astros need to win to avoid elimination. Then Zach Eflin pitches for the Orioles this afternoon. They try to avoid elimination. Mets, Brewers. That one's at 7:30 tonight. And we got to root for the Brewers. We need that thing to go to a game three. Everyone uses all their pitchers. And I think the Braves are cooked tonight. I think the Padres are going to sweep them right out of this thing and move on and play the Dodgers. Let's get back to your phone calls. But first, what's going on with this Hassan Reddick situation? So last week, or I guess a couple days ago, we got the news that he's not allowed to be traded back here because of
Of some weird rule.
So we're finding more stuff out about what's going on. And by the way, Hassan Reddick is still at home. You know, the Jets are about to play their fifth game of the season, and he's still at home.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the latest?
So we got a tweet yesterday from an old friend, Jacina Anderson.
Mm.
Now, this is worded like oddly, so I'm going to do my very best to make this make sense. The tweet says, new, I'm told a Jets 2026 second-round pick is conditionally involved in the trade, per sources. My understanding is that said condition is dependent upon the specifics of where Reddick lands if traded again. That's the part that's important and provides additional context to the protracted situation now. The Reddick trade was previously reported as only involving a 2026 conditional third-round pick. So from what I gather, or what I believe this means, is depending on where he goes, the Eagles will, I believe this conditional third just defaults to a second, because a lot of this was based on amount of playing time with the Jets. If it turns out the Jets have to trade him, then the Eagles don't get screwed in this scenario, which is something that we had worried about.
Yep. I have a theory on this, because she leaves it vague.
Yeah.
But I think it's protection that they don't reroute him to Dallas or the Giants or Washington.
Mm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Like the Eagles may have said, if you send him to these three or four or five places, then you have to give us a second-round pick. Like, you can't just let it send him to the Cowboys without us knowing about this. I think they might have something to do with that.
Yeah. Mm.
It's obviously a mess. I mean, like, they...
Yeah, this has gotten... It's crazy how he's standing on business. It kind of felt like he was prepared for whatever the worst was going to be, and it's gotten bad over the last couple of weeks.
He's getting cooked, dude.
I wonder, is there a drop-dead date where he has to come back, or is he going to let this full season go?
I think he's going to walk away from $17 million.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's a lot.
It is. I
commend somebody who is that convicted in whatever it is that they believe, that they're willing to do that. It's almost like the Dave Chappelle thing. You remember the story that came out a few years ago with Dave Chappelle, when he was doing the Dave Chappelle show? He walked away from like $25 million,
yeah,
and everybody thought he was crazy. And he bounced back, and he probably was worth more than that plus. Now, this don't feel like the same situation, but it's similar.
It is similar. The one thing that's different, Hassan can do whatever he wants. Dave Chappelle, right, a comedian, has a shelf life of their entire life, right?
Yes.
Like, they could do comedy.
You got where
Hassan
I was thinking of where I was putting down.
Is only getting older. Like, he's going to lose a whole
it's
year.
It's different in the NFL.
Yeah, he's not going to get more valuable to NFL teams.
That's the point. That's why I said, that's where it's different. I understand the premise, and I understand you're standing on business, but you only have so long to play this game.
Yeah.
And your body's only going to be going to hold up for so long. I'm getting all the bread that they're willing to give me. You can have it. I'll suck it up. And I'll figure out next year when I get a chance. But $17 million? It's a lot of money.
Speaking of, earlier when we had Seth in here, we had so much going on, we didn't really get to have fun with it. When Seth was saying that Darius Slay is in his stealing years, you said you tried that.
I tried to steal. Didn't work. I knew I was today, they wouldn't let me steal. It's like, nah, brother.
I mean, what are we paying for?
I was trying to steal. What they say in hockey, skate your wing?
Yeah.
I was scared. I was trying.
And the Jaguars said, get out.
They were like, not on our watch.
Not here. Let's go to Mike in Washington Township. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Hugh Joe, what's up, boys?
What's going on?
How you doing,
man?
Mike?
Yeah, I'm so pissed about this Eagles defense. I can't even explain it. Their just lack of physicality is just making me so mad. Especially like that one goal line stand they almost had. Fourth and goal on the 1 yard line. They have Baker Mayfield run that read option play.
Yep.
And Reed Blankenship just comes late. Like you can't be hesitant right there on the goal line, fourth and goal. Like you gotta stick him. In my opinion.
Well, Mike, I agree with that. It's one thing if it's Cam Newton coming down there or even Jalen Hurts, right? Like, Baker Mayfield is more mobile than most. He's not immobile, but, like, he shouldn't be the one, you know, lowering his shoulder and beating you.
No. You can't get run over right there if you're Reed Blankenship. And I'm a fan of Reed Blankenship, but you got to make that play.
It's true. And unfortunately, Mike, they just don't make enough big plays. Like, they get torched, and then they don't make, like, a play that's a 50-50 play. In three of the four games, they haven't done it.
Yeah, it drives me crazy. It really drives – and just the lack of tackling, just – it drives me insane.
Well, they're one of the worst tackling teams I've seen in a long time.
It's
remarkable. I mean, if you miss 18 tackles in a game, I mean, you basically didn't show up.
And another thing – I got Phillies winning both games this weekend, 2-0 to start the weekend.
That would be nice.
And then we go to New York or Milwaukee and we finish it off there. Mike appreciates it. There we go. He's not worried about a layoff or the Mets or I'm a little worried about or the Brewers, whatever.
Yeah, but never mind. I'm gonna keep that to myself.
No, here we go. You're nervous.
Flip flopping again.
No, I'm not. I'm gonna keep it to myself.
I can see you shaking over there.
You are nervous.
I'm going to keep it on a positive vibe. I'm just going to, we've heard these conversations before. Like, people talking about they're going to win just because.
They have a tremendous bullpen. Zach Wheeler.
Remember last week when we talked about the Eagles are going to win just because?
I don't know if it was just because.
Which one of us said that?
No, it was just because.
I'm talking about the callers.
Yeah. Oh.
Callers.
That's a football Friday. I mean,
come on. We can't put.
Okay, I'm not. Okay, I'm not.
The
I'm,
callers, I'm, man.
I'm looking at a free throw.
But Herb talk about.
Also.
Herb talk about handling business from planes.
Yeah. If we're being real, the Phillies are better than the Eagles. I mean, we have false bravado with the Eagles week to week because we're hoping. The Phillies are legitimately really good.
Of course.
They've been the best, right there is the best team all year.
I agree with that.
Dodgers took the best record at the end, but they've been, for most of the season, had the best record in baseball.
No, I agree with that.
TR is up next on WFP. Hey, TR. TR?
He's blowing his moment.
I mean, come on.
Right, TR, we'll push back on him. We'll get that figured out. Big Murph is up next. Hey, Big Murph.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Big Murph. What's up?
Man, I was just giving you a call, man. I've been thinking about the Eagles quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it goes back to 2016. I'm going to try to make this quick.
Okay.
They brought in Wentz. Excuse me. Looked good. Rookie year, getting rid of the ball real quick because he didn't know what he was doing. 2017 kind of stood at that pace, went MVP level. They finally got running backs, which they never had before, three of them, pounders. Okay, fast forward to 2020, he gets the money, he's toast. The head coach is toast too. Then we see the same scenario with Jalen Hurts. Totally different background, two totally different players. Coach's kid, you think it's going to be different. It winds up the same way. They all play hero ball. They all go for the deep ball. Do you guys think there is a fundamental issue from an organizational standpoint where these guys eat up their quarterbacks? They give them the money, they get in their head, and they just overwhelm them.
Yes.
To the point of
burn out and they get stuck.
Murph, I think there's something.
When you say overwhelm them, you mean expecting? You know, are you saying like give them $200 million and expect them to grow?
Not at all, Hugh. Not at all.
Okay.
And you should know better from Central State, brother. You got to earn your keep in that league. You don't get in there for free and give you a handout.
Definitely.
But what I'm saying is, I'll get right to it. What I'm saying is they always have wanted to pass you. Mm-hmm. You can go back to every coach all the way back to Andy Reid. The deficit was always, why won't they run? Why won't they run? Why won't they run?
Okay.
The one year they did run the football and they concentrated on that, they got us the Super Bowl. It wasn't just Nick Foles. It was running the defense.
Oh, you're right. Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount. Murph, I think you're onto something. And here's my...
I think
you're right. And I have a theory on it as well as what you're saying. I think part of it has been because of the structure of this, you know, the way rookie quarterbacks are cheaper, you know, before you get paid, they're able to build up these great teams around them, 2017, and then the same thing in 22, and then they play well, they win, and I think they've almost fooled themselves into thinking these guys are truly special, when the reality is they were good, and then they were, you know, helped out by a lot around them, and then they pay them, and then they're like, oh no, maybe they're not quite as great as we thought. I think there's something here. Yeah.
I don't want to cut you off. I think that's a piece of it, but I think their desire to get big plays, to score points, I think they put the burden on these kids to perform that way, which is not what got them in the league in the first place. And then they're displaced, and then you're trying to put a square peg through a round hole. Then the kid gets burnt out. Then it's like, okay, let's start the machine all over again with a new quarterback. I bet you on everything I own, on my grandkids, on everything, they draft a quarterback this year.
I think you're right.
Unless they win the Super Bowl.
I think you're right.
Jalen Hurts.
I think you're right.
That's just my opinion, one guy's opinion. It's not fact, but, you know, you walk back through the history books. I'm 51 years old. I've been watching since the 80s when they were terrible. At least we have something to watch now. You know, I think that whole thing started when you came in, Hugh, and it was a renaissance with Andy Reid, and he learned what to do at the quarterback position, and the Eagles are still trying to use his formula, and they're scrapping to do such, and you mix that with analytics, it's a bad brand of football. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you
for the call. I'll call in again soon.
Awesome. That's a good call, Murph.